You got it.
All right, all right.
The Joy Network.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say,
good evening and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you so much for joining us. It's good to see you tonight. We are talking this evening about racism in the emergency room, and it involves children, your children, the children in our community. Dr. Diane Marshall, our village doctor, has the statistics that will leave you feeling sick. You will not believe these numbers. If you missed Bible study, Wednesday night prayer meeting to watch, you know, Empire, to see Cookie and Lucius in Orange, we have the village verse for you tonight, a word tonight from Dr. Robert Scott of Central Baptist in St. Louis. We are also talking politics. What about those emails the FBI has recovered from Hillary Clinton's server? We'll talk about those with Mondale Robinson, who is our Village Celebration contributor. But we begin tonight around the dinner table with the sweet potato. The sweet potato is changing the lives of some teenagers in St. Louis. Journalist and author and philanthropist and all-around good guy, Sylvester Brown, started this program a few years ago, and he's grooming young entrepreneurs. Sylvester, good evening, and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show.
Hello, Vicki. Good evening to you.
Tell us about this project, because when you say sweet potato in our community, we automatically think potato pie, sweet potato casserole, and those are all good things, and this project is a good thing as well.
Well, you know, actually, so did I. I was raised on, you know, sweet potato pie, sweet potato with dinner. What I really got interested in was back in 2009, President Obama introduced a bunch of food initiatives, agricultural initiatives aimed at rebuilding low-income communities and metropolitan areas. So I really got caught up in the idea back in 2009. Of course, I was a journalist with the Post-Dispatch at the time. Later that year, I was let go from the Post-Dispatch. I happened to go to work for Tavis Samadi. I was his own publishing company. I was with many, many black thinkers. And they were so busy, caught up in arguing about President Obama's agenda, I got frustrated, and I said, you know, there has to be something that we can do. We can have our own agenda. So That moved me toward this whole food movement.
And the sweet potato is at the center of this movement. So you took a look at what many people call food deserts in urban areas, but you were able to combine your concern about nutrition with your desire to see young teenagers succeed and create their own paths in life. Tell us what it took to get the program off the ground and what your ultimate goal is with the Sweet Potato Project.
Okay. I looked at many areas, nutrition, the obesity rate, the treatable diseases that many African Americans disproportionately die from. I looked at the crime rate, and I thought there had to be some way that we could get kids making money, but also getting them to think about their communities and revitalizing their communities. And again, the food movement seemed like the perfect fit. People were actually making community gardens. They were actually feeding into the local food movement. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, why can't we do that in North St. Louis? I don't know how many of your listeners know, you know, the huge disparities in St. Louis, particularly North St. Louis. But I thought, you know, here's a way that the whole community can get involved. Here's a way that we could take kids with something that they at least know about. I know they all know about sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes, the best thing about sweet potatoes is that they don't take that much. You plant them in the ground, you water them, and let God and nature do the rest. Mm-hmm. So we take kids, we look at all of the abandoned lots. There are 8,000 abandoned lots in the city of St. Louis alone.
My goodness.
So we take kids, we have them plant sweet potatoes on these vacant lots. We give them a summer job. During the summer, we teach them marketing, we teach them branding, we teach them sales, we teach them teamwork, we teach them how to present themselves, how to talk, how to dress. Mm. At the end of the summer job period, they are charged with turning their produce into a product. So they take the sweet potatoes, and right now they're selling sweet potato cookies. Mm-hmm. So it's an entrepreneurial endeavor. But the bigger picture is community revitalization, getting kids to take ownership of their neighborhoods, getting kids to lead the way in this agricultural movement. We tell our kids that you are the pioneers who will create jobs and opportunities for young people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't look off at that, but everybody eats. Food is a huge commodity. And here in St. Louis, we get our food from California or we get it from Florida, and that's 1,800 miles away, and it's filled with pesticides. So we figure this is really a real way to serve the local needs of restaurants, of public schools, of institutions, but also to teach our kids how they themselves can earn money for themselves and their community.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's a win-win all around.
Absolutely. I love this idea of once they have grown the sweet potatoes and they do the planting and the harvesting and then they sell what they have produced. It's kind of like Shark Tank. Am I right?
Exactly.
Do they enjoy that aspect?
Pride that they have.
Yeah, do they enjoy that aspect?
They do. When they first get involved, you hear the joke, this is like slavery and we're working in the field and all that stuff. But once they really get into it, the look of awe when they, during harvest time, when they dig their sweet potatoes up. Many of our kids have no idea where the food comes from. They're so used to getting food from grocery stores, which are far away, or from these local convenience stores or gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea the organic nature of food. And so once you get them invested, once it becomes so you really open a new world for them. And again, I'm in awe at how quickly our kids adapt to this. And what really happens is these inner city kids, they really get into this idea that they can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because they are maligned and denied and locked up and locked out.
Absolutely.
Nobody tells them, you can save your community.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the beauty of it to me, when these kids actually get it. Our kids did essays on this thing we called neighborhood walks. They walk around different neighborhoods to compare, the black side of the town to the white side of town. If you read their essays, you'll see that they really have adopted this message of change.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about more than just growing sweet potatoes. They're talking about owning land. They're talking about doing business together. And they're talking about, neighborhood cooperatives. So, this thing is really... it's really taken me to new levels of insight about our youth and about the possibilities.
And the talent they have, that because they are so malign, is often dormant. There's no one saying, yes, you can. And you know what? Not only can you do, but let's work with you so that your odds of succeeding are increased.
That's the beauty of it. Many people look at these communities and look at these kids and we put them down and we mm-hmm. call them all stars of names, but they have no idea what sort of fortitude,
Absolutely.
What sort of resilience it takes to really live in poor neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Some of our kids have to worry about the colors that they put on because they wear a red scarf or a blue jacket. So I look at that as an amazing testament to the African-American experience. No matter what they put on us, we survived it. And our kids are still surviving. It amazes mm-hmm. me how they can navigate this world on public mm-hmm. transportation and make a dollar stretch and be mm-hmm. dressed immaculately
mm-hmm.
on little money.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart that we don't see the potential in these young people.
And that we are not celebrating that aspect of who they are, that so much attention is placed on what they are not doing, that so many times what they are doing and doing well is overlooked. Tell us about some of the teenagers who are really excelling in the Sweet Potato Project.
I've got about this year, we didn't get the funds that we got last year. So we had to really kind of cut back and focus in on 10 of our veteran students. The kids who've been with us for the last 3 or 4 years. And we said, okay, guys, we could bring money into the company by actually upping our sales. So we spent time on focusing on their personal sales skills and really taking them to different bakeries and taking them to different companies to talk to entrepreneurs. And my my kids were so articulate about this program. I have a young lady here. My name is Marquita. Marquita has been with me since the beginning. Marquita, we've had our challenges. She's really very stubborn. And once you get on her bad side, you know, you stay on that side. But Marquita can speak. She's great in front of a camera. You put her in front of a camera and she just lights up. She starts to tell this story. She has a cousin. His name is Keon Williams. Keon, to me, was a baby when he first started. He started, he was like 15. Now he's 18. Mm-hmm. And again, Keon is an emissary. We were doing a neighborhood walk, right? Just take the kids around to look at neighborhoods. And this guy stopped us, wanted to know what we were doing. He's a resident in North St. Louis. So Keon and another student, Travion, I believe it was, they started to talk to this resident. And this resident, who was skeptical at first, he was so, he had so much pride about what they were doing. Uh-huh. And, you know, and just watching them mature and watching them, you know, accept this message and this responsibility, it just blows me away. I've got another student, Darion. He's about to get his bachelor's degree in communication. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get Darion to say a word for the first year of this program, but slowly I watched him develop. I watched him be able to talk and gain his confidence. Mm-hmm. And now Darion is one of the mentors of the new kid.
Excellent.
I mean, I could go on and mm-hmm. on. I mean, do you have time for this?
I do. We do have time. We want to hear it.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, there was a negative experience I had with a young man. I'm not going to say his name, but this kid was in the game since he was 12.
Okay.
But he was a hard worker. Anyway, we at the time, we were having our classes at a church, and every now and then, the church would ask for some volunteers to go over to the rectory to help with the food pantry. Mm-hmm. Well, one day, a phone came up missing, and after, you know, yelling at the kids and talking to them, I finally found out that it was this kid. Mm-hmm. And I'll call him Barry. Mm-hmm. He actually stole the phone and convinced two kids to cover up for him. So I told him, you got a choice. I could fire you right now, and you will not get your last 2 weeks' pay. Or you can go over to that church and volunteer for a week. Mm-hmm. He chose to go volunteer for a week.
Wow.
When he first went there, the head of the program said, oh, heck no, we do not want this kid in there. He is a troublemaker. We don't want him in here. But the lady who got her cell phone stolen, the older lady, she said, no, let him come in. Let him come in. And that lady stayed on his butt for a whole week. Baby, don't do this. Baby, what are you doing, baby? And just stayed on him for a whole week. At the end of that week, she came to me and said, Mr. Brown, this is really a good kid.
Wonderful.
So to me, that means sometimes we have to give our kids a chance to redeem themselves.
Amen.
You know,
mm-hmm.
let them learn the error of their way. That's what I love about this program. Mm-hmm. I have this wonderful opportunity to draft curriculum, to draft exercises based on my experience. I was a poor black kid, and I did a whole lot of crazy things when I was a kid. So I get a chance to run this program based on my experience and their experience and give them a chance to be who they really are.
And don't we all need a second chance every now and then? Not just a second, a third and a fourth and a fifth. And thank God for the woman who said, let me work with him. Let him come on in. Because so often our kids are not given that opportunity to redeem themselves.
Exactly.
Tell us how we can find
they're
some sweet potato. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm disagreeing with you. They're automatically stereotyped, they're automatically condemned, and we rush our kids into the criminal justice system at a horrid, quick pace. We really have to take a look at how many kids are entering the juvenile justice system through public schools.
No other community experiences it to the degree that we do. No other community experiences it to the degree that we do.
They do. In fact, Missouri is number one in the nation as far as suspensions. So we really, our economic system is broken, our criminal justice system is broken, and our educational system is broken. You know, all these biases and stereotypes, we have allowed to metastasize in the educational system. But I digress.
Well, we'll have that conversation another time, because we do need to address the education of our children and what is missing. Sylvester Brown from the Sweet Potato Project, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and more importantly, for what you are doing in our community. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back, so stay with us here on the Village Celebration Radio Show.
Thank you. boys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Park Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
It's a Thursday evening, and you are listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton. Delighted to have you with us. You know, we are just a little bit more than a year from election 2016, so we have to talk politics. Joining us in studio is our Village Celebration contributor, Mondell Robinson, who is the president and founder of the Conyers Public Policy Institute. Mondell, last time we talked, we were talking, of course, about Donald Trump, who is still at the top of the Republican list.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not real hard to be leading when there's a bunch of clowns you're running against. So,
you wouldn't be biased, would you?
Kind of, but only because I care about folk. And that party right now seems to think, I mean, I guess they think they only have to appease to people with money.
Well, now, and here comes my bias. Isn't that the way it's worked for the most part with the Republican Party?
Well, it depends on which Republican Party we're talking about. If we're talking about Lincoln Republicans.
Not Lincoln's.
Yeah, Lincoln Republicans look nothing like what we're dealing with right now. And even if we go back to first Bush, he had a little more compassion, or actually a lot more compassion than these jokers that are on stage right now calling themselves Republicans.
So Donald Trump is in first place. Then I think it's Ben Carson, which is a surprise to me. And then Carly Fiorina,
right.
And then I think Jeb Bush.
Right. And what it all means is Jeb Bush is winning. Because, I mean, if you know the history of our country, this country since the beginning has never elected anyone other than a general or an old politician. Mm-hmm. So we might like this idea of newcomers, but you need to have held a political office or been a military general to be president of this country.
So President Barack Obama was the exception for sure on so many levels.
Well, not really on the level of race, but he was also a senator.
Okay.
So he was a senator.
An old politician,
right.
Quote unquote.
Meaning that you had an office before ran for president. So that's what I mean by old politicians.
Well, old politicians, if that holds true, if that conventional wisdom holds true, then Hillary Clinton is in a really good place, despite this ongoing controversy about that email server.
Well, I think this controversy, I'm doing air quotes. I know people can't see that because we're in the studio. It's not really a controversy. It's the Republicans being crafty, as they always are when it comes time for presidential elections, to create issues that are not real issues. I think Hillary's campaign and her camp not really helping themselves by being so secretive and letting this information drip out rather than just turning open the faucet and let it come out. There's nothing really to worry about. But it's really hurting her in the polls and making Bernie Sanders look real good.
Bernie Sanders is hanging in there.
He is. And, you know, the Democratic Party, of course, are doing their part, trying to make sure that, you know, there's not really a primary on the Democratic side so Hillary can have it easier than they want. But Bernie Sanders and also...
Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Vice President Biden.
Yeah, well,
he hasn't really gone away necessarily.
I agree. I think... I don't think his heart's in it. It's
after,
you know,
the death of his son, or even if his son had not passed away, you think he doesn't have that? What do they call it? That fire in his gut.
I think it's the death of his son, and what it, I mean, you know, and that has to, you know, rehash a whole lot for the vice president.
Sure.
You know, he's had a lot of losses.
He has
first wife, another child. So, and I think, you know, he's been a public servant since he was 29.
For a very long time.
Yeah, let's say thank you and make sure he has a wonderful exit out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you know, I think to be president, it's going to take more than questioning your wants and your ideas up until the middle of October. And I think that's where the vice president's at. And there are people in his camp that wants him to run, but they're saying give him to October. And I think that's way too late. The Democratic Party about to get on board and start in a primary well before then, before Republicans seize on their absence. And that's what's going on right now. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chair of the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. or the National Committee, is trying to protect Hillary's lead. And she's preventing a primary from really taking place.
Mm. Well, Elizabeth Warren is often her name bandied about,
yeah.
but
I don't think she's ready right now. She, as it pertains to herself, that's the only reason I think she's ready. She's actually a liberal darling. Her getting in the race probably would do more harm to Bernie Sanders than
Hillary
Clinton.
Clinton.
Yeah, I think Hillary Clinton is more of a Wall Street Democrat, whereas Bernie Sanders and also and Elizabeth Warren occupy that true liberal, you know, far left space that's actually the swing, the opposite side of where Donald Trump and, I hate to say that, Donald Trump and Carson is.
Well, let me ask you this. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have something in common.
Don't they?
A lack of trust from the public.
Mm-hmm.
Both have really high numbers when it comes to questions about their honesty and their trustworthiness, which it seems to me is awfully important for a leader.
Yeah, Clinton got reelected with really high unfavorabilities. That's their legacy, that the Clintons. I mean, people don't trust them. They think they're a secret vote. But part of that, again, like I said, goes into how the Clinton campaign has responded to this
email situation. More transparency, you're saying,
from her
camp?
They need to be more transparent, and they don't need to say, we're going to be more likable in a statement. They just need to be more likable and being more open. So
mm-hmm.
I think the sooner this email thing is over, the better. I also seen somewhere that they're going to release a movie about Benghazi, a box office movie in January, which is, you know, that's propaganda as well.
That's
but
interesting timing.
It's interesting timing. And until she just say this and this happened, she's going to keep dealing with this email thing, which should have been dead in a month or so.
Be interesting to see who is funding this movie. If
yeah.
you can follow the money.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Follow the money. Mundell Robinson from the Conyers Institute, thank you for joining us. Coming up tonight on the Village Celebration Radio Show, we are looking at the appalling statistics when it comes to the way black children are treated in the emergency room compared to white children. Stay with us.
Arkansas Development Council will sponsor the 2015 Income Advocates Leadership and Community Development Conference September 28th through 29th at the Doubletree Hotel. The conference will include everything from strengthening relationships between law enforcement, financial risk management, among others. There will also be an opportunity to meet policymakers, legislators, and other leaders in the state. The CADC is celebrating their 50th anniversary, and the mission statement is to improve the quality of life and build strong communities in Arkansas. For more information, contact Robin Freeman at 501-778-1133. Again, 501-778-1133.
You know, Maya, you're really good in the sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and UAMS.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association.
And keep Arkansas beautiful.
Good evening and welcome back to the Village Celebration Radio Show. Glad you are with us tonight. You know, we have the Village Verse coming up in just a few minutes with Dr. Robert Scott from Central Baptist Church. But how many of you missed Bible study last night? How many missed Bible study? Oh, I see a show of hands. A lot of hands out there waving. And what were you doing? Watching Empire. Yeah, well, don't worry. We have you covered. We have a word coming up. But first, in the studio with me is a comedian, Big Dre. And are you serious? You have never seen Empire? You don't know who Cookie is? You don't know who Lucius is?
Well, I know who they are. I know who the people are.
You haven't been under a rock, right?
The series itself. Yeah, you don't think I saw Cookie in that outfit coming in? Do you think I missed that? I YouTubed that about 25 times.
You're talking about her church lady hat, right?
That's exactly right. Made me go get
now, I didn't even see that. Wait a minute, Mondale Robinson, you are a serious lawyer, political consultant, and you're over there YouTubing Cookie as well?
I'm a Cookie fan. I'm actually an Empire fan.
So you missed Bible study as well last night, is that
actually,
correct?
I did. unfortunately. I prayed to God this morning, though.
Well, God is forgiving. Yep. He forgives us. Okay, so you were parked in front of the TV watching Empire. Dre is...
I was telling jokes.
Telling jokes and Wednesday. Watching YouTube.
That's right. But, I catch the important parts of it.
Well, you know, it got good reviews. Last night's show got good reviews. And it was the Television Critics Association's pick of the year.
How about that? They say some of it is kind of rough, though. Some of it, they got some things going that I don't know if I'd watch on a regular basis.
It takes a look at a lot of different lifestyles.
That's, see...
But the message it started with was one about the police brutality in our community. Mondale, what did you think of that?
I thought it was a fresh look or a great way to bring it to pop culture and make people understand that it's a serious issue going on with our community and the way the police are policing us. So I think it's a beautiful thing that we're using the number one show on TV at prime time to talk about black issues.
And that they are not backing away from it. And neither did Black-ish last night.
Exactly. I don't know if you caught it or not, but Cookie said, oh, Bill Clinton's in the audience.
Yes, I caught that. Here supporting his wife, right. I caught that. Reverend Al Sharpton had a guest appearance. He said, you know, Cookie, I'm not messing with that because Lucius, the word on the street, is guilty.
Right.
And Lucius is guilty.
Is he?
He is.
Guilty of what? Trying to build an empire?
Oh, wow. How about Chris Rock?
Chris Rock. Chris Rock should stick to comedy. He didn't look good as a gangster. I was laughing as soon as I saw him.
He didn't look good as Pookie either many, many years ago, but that didn't stop him. Okay, Dre, you're going to watch Empire. Is that right?
I'm going to check it out.
Okay. We need some jokes about Empire.
I will. You know what? I'm going to watch it just for that.
Okay.
Just for that. But okay. See, I don't know. They keep knocking off the comedians in the show.
Well, just don't go to the show.
I won't go to the show.
Come back and talk with us.
You know what? That's a better idea. I believe that.
Okay. All right. We will see you next week. Coming up, we do have a message for you from the Bible because you missed Bible study. I mean, I missed it as well. So Dr. Robert Scott is coming up. So stay with us. And then we will hear from Dr. Diane Marshall on that report about the mistreatment of African-American children in the emergency room.
have a minute? How about 30? Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life, too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato, or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships, too. Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
The Central Arkansas Development Council will sponsor the 2015 Income Advocates Leadership and Community Development Conference September 28th through 29th at the Doubletree Hotel. The conference will include everything from strengthening relationships between law enforcement, financial risk management, among others. There will also be an opportunity to meet policymakers, legislators, and other leaders in the state. The CADC is celebrating their 50th anniversary, and the mission statement is to improve the quality of life and build strong communities in Arkansas. For more information, contact Robin Freeman at 501-778-1133. Again, 501-778-1133.
Welcome back, and now for one of my favorite segments of the Village Celebration Radio Show, The Village Verse. And tonight our guest minister is the Reverend Dr. Robert Scott from Central Baptist in St. Louis. Please forgive me, Dr. Scott, but I have to ask you, are you watching Empire?
No.
No. Very good, sir. Yes, sir. Let's move on to the Word and something far more sacred. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm glad to know you're not watching
usually,
it, okay?
Usually I am in church either preaching a revival or something of that sort, so I don't watch it.
And saving the souls of all those sin-sick folk watching Cookie and Lucius. I'm sorry.
Lord have mercy.
Lest I seem a little...
There may be some Cookies and Luciuses I'm preaching to.
Well, where are we going tonight in the Word?
I want to talk about a scripture that I think that we often take out of context, and it is Romans 8:28.
Oh my gosh, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's where Paul writes, and we know all things work together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we listen to that particular scripture, that particular pericope, it's dealing with what is called the sovereignty of God, or the capacity of God to do whatever God wants to, when God wants to, how God wants to.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that oftentimes when people read that particular scripture, we tend to take it out of context by virtue of the fact that we miss the conditions of the text. There are some preconditions that allow for us to be able to watch God do some things in our lives, but we miss the conditions of the text.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, and we know all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, unfortunately, many of us have used this as a security blanket. But at this time, I want to, if I could, deconstruct this, and because it's applied unscripturally and unbiblically, and I want to reframe it within the context in which Paul writes it so we can understand it in the original context and love the text and apply it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Paul wants us to understand, that in the text, he's dealing with there being no condemnation in Jesus Christ. That goes back to the very beginning of Romans chapter 8. He comes through and he flows about how we're to live a particular life as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned. That Spirit comes into our lives when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior and start doing some work on us. Then he talks about how the Holy Spirit also becomes what I call the interpreter and the editor of our prayers. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to this verse right here, and it just blows me out the water. The interesting thing is that God, in working things out for our good, is trying to get us to a place as far as us looking like Christ. Mm-hmm. But the conditions of the text is it can't work for your good if you're not connected to the God who can bring something good out of something bad.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Interestingly, when we're connected to God through Christ, that whatever we're going through, whatever negative situation we're facing, whatever suffering moments we're dealing with, we got to be willing to trust God in the process. And so what is God doing? First of all, God is working things out for those who have answered his call.
Okay.
And his call is a call of salvation. It's a call of the movement of the Spirit in our lives through Jesus Christ. But the conditions in the text is we must submit to God through Jesus Christ in order for God to work things out for our good. And not only is God working things out for those who have answered the call, but also what God is doing is shaping us into the image of Jesus Christ. Not Jesus' physical image, but his character, his integrity, and how he lived a holy life. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people think that when you talk about all things that God's going to bless you with money and houses and cars. No, no, no. God is trying to conform us to the image of his beloved son. And then that last part where it talks about those he foreknew he predestined, and those mm-hmm. he predestined he called, those he called he justified and glorified. That has nothing to do with where you're going to spend eternity. This is not a person being predestined to heaven or hell, as some have taught. But rather, it is God already having a predetermined result to take place because you've answered the call. Mm-hmm. And the predetermined result is to look like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think you probably brought a lot of enlightenment to those of us who hold on to that verse as an assurance that in the end everything will work out really well. But there are conditions for it working out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, I'll have to take another look at that. It is still one of my favorite verses, but you're right. There are some conditions. I need to take a look and see if I'm meeting those conditions. I don't know if Empire Watching is one of those.
Well, the condition is for us to allow for God to move in our lives by accepting his son, Christ, mm-hmm. the Savior. Answering the call, we go through discipleship, sanctification. We're going through the process of becoming like Christ. And as we do that, then God is able to take all things. And when I say all things, mm-hmm. all things, the good things, the bad things, the happy mm-hmm. things, the sad things, the sinful things, the mistakes, anything that we've dealt with, God is able to take the secret things, the extraordinary things, the ordinary things, our stupid things, our mm-hmm. silly things, our smart things, our confusing things, our abusing things, our amusing things,
amen.
And work it out for our good. So as I close, when we make a mess of things, or we forget something, or mm-hmm. when we neglect a thing, or misuse a thing, mm-hmm. or when we abuse a thing, or don't know a thing, when we break a thing, run from a thing, drop a thing, mm-hmm. catch a thing, fall into a thing, or when God does nothing, God can still work all things out for our good. Which means, if it ain't good yet, it's not over yet.
All right. That is fantastic. Dr. Robert Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's a wonderful word. We'll be right back.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Mm. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah.
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding.
pending 27 holes Andy Dye design wow. PGA caliber championship hey. Layout and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge. Wow. And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state parks, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Now let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
What a terrific Thursday we are having here on the Village Celebration Radio Show. Welcome back. I'm Vicki Newton. Joining me now is Dr. Diane Marshall, who is our Village doctor. And Dr. Di, I saw this study that really disturbed me. It said that African American children are not receiving painkillers at the same rate that white children are in the ER. And this is a study that seemed legitimate to me. You're the expert. What did you think of this study?
Hi, Vicki. Well, I did read that study as well, and it was supposed to be published this week in the Journal of American Medicine for Pediatrics. So I really want to read the full context of the journal article. However, looking at it, it looks like what they did in this article is they extrapolated some information from the Children's National Health System in Washington, D.C., and so using that information where, I guess, numerous ERs send in data regarding race, age, what the patients are presenting to the ER mm-hmm. for, and then what they're getting for pain, it looks like what the article is saying is that about 80% of black children, they're less likely to get opioid-type medications for severe pain.
Okay.
Now,
Can we just stop right
there?
I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to go back to that 80% statistic because that raises the hair on the back of my neck. So we're saying that African American children are 80% less likely to get painkillers in the ER?
They're 80% less likely to receive an opioid type pain medicine. They may be getting something, for example, ibuprofen or Tylenol, but if it's severe pain, they are 80% less likely to receive a stronger pain medication.
That breaks my heart. 80% less likely.
Absolutely.
That's almost a guarantee that you're not going to get the medicine that you need if you're in severe pain and you're a child.
And you're a child. And Vicki, they based this, they tried to pick something that they thought would be a reason to get pain medicine. So this study looked at patients who presented with appendicitis.
Oh,
now,
goodness.
Typically, when you present with appendicitis, you are in severe pain.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't haphazard, and it wasn't something like I have a headache or I have a sprain to my wrist. Mm-hmm. It was appendicitis.
Mm-hmm. That's an internal. I'm astonished. You're a doctor. Have you seen this? I mean, I know that's just anecdotal evidence, but have you noticed disparities?
I myself have not seen this. Now, keep in mind, I worked in a residency program, and so we were teaching residents how to treat. And then in the practice that I'm in, I'm not seeing as many emergency pediatric patients.
Okay.
So personally, I have not seen this, but it does not surprise me that information like this exists. It does not surprise me.
And why doesn't it surprise you?
Well, we know that for whatever reason, there is always a built-in bias comes to treatment of African-Americans in general. And now people don't want to admit that, but it really is. I have seen it more so in adults. And I can say that I know that a lot of times, if you are of a lower socioeconomic status, you're African-American, if you come to a physician complaining of pain, and that's just about anywhere, you know, the first thing they're going to think about is whether or not you are pain-seeking. And it happens more with patients of color.
Now, again, I am a journalist, so I don't know what happens in emergency rooms, but just from my experience of covering stories for years and years, I somewhat expected the disparity in treatment when it comes to adults. But what this report says is happening with children really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's okay with adults,
oh, yeah.
but I'm talking children in
right.
pain. That
oh,
bothers
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. It's alarming. It's alarming. And so what the study also points out is that, you know, even though they could look at it and they could see the disparity, they really could not come up with an answer as to why.
Mm-hmm.
What was the real reason these children received less pain medicines? And so what they found out was that it happened more often in black children. It's alarming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they need to do a little bit more investigation into why, what's going on, can we make sure these kids are getting adequate pain medications? Lots of questions need to be answered. So this is just opening up the study to, you know, to get more information.
So a parent, an African-American parent who takes his or her child to the emergency room, what's your advice?
If you take your child to the emergency room, first of all, make sure that you are telling the doctor how bad your patient's, or your, not your patient's, your child's pain is. We want to make sure that they know that you don't randomly come to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
You would not bring your child there if it were not an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, be very cautious, but be very emphatic that you know your child
mm-hmm.
and you want to make sure that their pain is relieved. That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Be firm.
Be patient, mm-hmm. but make sure that be patient and firm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I like your advice to explain that, yes, I know my child, and I know he or she is not making this up. This is serious. And that's a parent's role
that's
to advocate.
Right. It is a parent's role to advocate. You know, what we would see often, too, is that I want to emphasize, don't use the emergency room so much as your primary care place.
Okay.
Make sure that you go to your doctor so that you can establish care. And in that way, if you present to the emergency room, they know that, okay, now that's not making an excuse,
mm-hmm.
but they do know that this patient typically does not come here. I'm going to call their primary care doctor to find out, you know, if they have any other medical conditions, and kind of get to know your primary care doctor, because then there is communication between the emergency room doctor and your doctor to help validate,
mm-hmm.
you know, your child.
Absolutely. That is great advice. Dr. Diane Marshall, we appreciate you joining us, because this study, to use your word, is alarming. So thank you for explaining it and for giving our parents some advice.
Thank you, Vicki.
The Village Celebration Radio Show continues. We're back in a moment.
Glenn?
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
We are rounding out tonight's Village Celebration Radio Show. I have just had a blast. We have covered some topics that I think we as a community have to take a really good look at. This ER report is so important, especially for our parents. And then the Sweet Potato Project, which gives teenagers an opportunity to learn business skills so they can run their own companies and help preserve our community. Big Dre. I keep calling you Dr. Dre. You know I'm speaking into your future.
Yes, that's what it is.
So when you sign some big deal with Apple, I don't know if it's a phone or a set some headphones, remember
it's
me.
It's going to be an app that brings in jokes from time to time.
Oh, I like that. You just press that app and you get a joke.
Press that app, we got a joke for you.
Mm-hmm.
Help you through work when your boss is giving you the blues.
You just go in your office.
Just go in your office. You know what? I got one right here for you. I think that'll be something
I like that. Jokes on command.
On command.
Okay, so you know with the Sweet Potato Project, they're making cookies. They're making cookies out of sweet potatoes. Potato cookies. You ever baked a sweet potato pie?
I've never baked. You know, I've cooked a lot of things, but I can't bake. I can't because baking is exact. You have to be exact with baking.
I make a sweet potato pie, make you slap somebody.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Using my great-grandmother's recipe.
Is that right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't believe it. I'm going to have to see it.
All right, I'll make one and bring it in.
I know it.
That was kind of like a dare, and I fell for it, didn't I?
Yeah, you fell for the banana in the tailpipe.
I did. You know what?
JC, don't take this personal. When I eat the pie, I'm going to slap. If it's what it
I hope
says,
you're standing next to JC.
I hope I am. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
JC is the producer of the radio show. Yeah. Well, don't slap him on Thursday because we need him.
Well, I'm going to knock him out. This is just going to... Just tighten him up a little bit. He'll be fine.
So what's been going on? You're making some more appearances. Last time we talked, you were headed to Tulsa. That was Labor Day weekend.
That was. I'm going to be in Little Rock October 7th through 11th at the Looney Bin.
You know what? You have a really deep voice. I just caught that. You said,
you know, that's my...
Is that your stage voice?
Yes. That's my, want to be a nice guy voice. That's what it is.
It's kind of Barry White-ish.
That's purpose. It's the microphone that does that. When I'm on the phone and microphone, that's what it is.
Well, I know a lot of guys should get that microphone. Maybe that's what you should do with Apple.
That might be it.
A microphone that'll lower your voice.
That'll lower your voice. So when you whispering sweet nothings, it'll be more sweet than nothing. Hey.
I like that.
I know I'm a little late right now, but I'm on my way home, I promise.
That's
and
okay.
When I see you, I can't wait.
It's to okay. Make it
through. Yeah, yeah. That's helped me sometimes. Sometimes a gift and a curse. Don't try it with me with that voice, man.
Now, you know this is an empire scene you're doing.
It's what
Even
it is.
Even though you have not seen the show.
I've never seen the show.
You just went straight Lucius.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to. I don't mean to. Everybody got a little Lucius in them. Every brother.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some more than others, but you got to have, just like every woman got a little cookie in them. They may not display it, but it's a little, it's, you know.
JC, turn off my microphone. I do not want to incriminate myself.
Yeah, it's just a little bit. Some is a
you
grain.
You think every woman has some cookie in her?
Every single one of them. Now, the trick is try not to bring that out of them. You want to bring the nice girl out, but that cookie is there. Believe that. Now, I've managed to bring it out more than I'd like to share, but.
You notice I'm not saying.
Not a word.
I'm not affirming, yeah. Nor am I denying.
Well, yeah,
I'm not confirming or denying.
You know, well, it can be brought out in many ways. You know, you might have you've been having your heels on all day. Somebody step on your foot, you might have a little cookie come out.
Well, I tell you what, she is an extremely popular woman in America.
I know she is.
Yes.
I just want to have a conversation with her one time. I want her to hear my voice. Maybe we could be friends.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Based on who she is, she might bring you on into the Empire family.
Listen, I'm a comedian. I can laugh her out of anything she wants. Oh, Andre, you're so funny. That's what they say.
Well, that
you're
is hilarious. Studies show that if a guy can make a girl laugh, he might get a date.
That's right. I can talk into making me a picture of Kool-Aid or something.
Well, when you get that app going with Apple,
yeah,
and you combine that with the joke app, you know, you got to come back and tell us all about it.
I will. Happily.
All right. We're glad to have you with us. You're in Little Rock this weekend?
October. I keep saying August. October 7th through 11th. I'm going to Fayetteville tomorrow. Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue in Fayetteville. So I'm going to be there. And I'm
Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue?
That's what it is. And I'm going to tell a few jokes about barbecue. That's what we're going to talk about.
Oh, wow. All right, then. Thank you so much, Dr. Dre Vic Dre. And
me.
Thank you for joining us for the Village Celebration, everybody. Really enjoyed having you with us tonight. I'm Vicki Newton.
Over 200 people each year in Arkansas. I could be driving any one of the next 10 cars you see on the